Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener at this time every Sunday morning. We also have a website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. We encourage you to check that out. It has many valuable resources that can help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. I also want to let you in on a change that's going to come in January of 2013. Beginning the first Sunday in January 2013, we are going to a question and answer format. I'm going to answer your questions each week that are written in and given to me and give you a Bible answer for those questions. If you have Bible questions that you would like to ask and see answered on this program, please write the questions to the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. I'm also going to give you my home address to write them because we will, Lord willing, be moving the first of the year. And since I don't know the exact date for that, I will give you that address. It's Keith Greer, 217 Ashley Camp Road, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. 217 Ashley Camp Road, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. Just ask any Bible question, and you can send them in now. I'll be putting them together for our first program in January. We encourage you to take opportunity of that, and we'll be able to answer your questions on the air beginning in January 2013. Today, we want to look at a few moments at what is the Christian's relationship to civil government. Is civil government evil? What is the Christian's relationship to that government? Some take the position that a Christian can have nothing to do with civil government, even to the point of forbidding to vote, paying of taxes, or living under the laws of the land. What does the Bible teach? I want to begin this morning by telling you there are three divine institutions of divine origin. The home, established by God, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24, and confirmed by Jesus himself in Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6. Also the church, Jesus promised to build in Matthew 16, 18, in which he is the head, according to Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Also, civil government is ordained by God, and we can read that in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25, and Romans 13 verse 1 through 7, and we will read some of those verses in just a moment. God rules and has jurisdiction in all three of these realms. Let us examine God's role in civil government, and then look at our duties and obligation towards civil government. Sovereignty is understanding that God has sovereignty in all the world. Sovereignty means connotes a situation in which a person from dignity exercises supreme power with no areas of providence outside his jurisdiction. God is sovereign of the entire universe. It is true, according to scriptures, God desires men to serve him with voluntary submission. Yet he can and does take charge of earthly affairs to bring his own redemptive purposes and plans to mankind. Listen to the scriptures. God exercises providential control over the nations of the world. He rules in the kingdoms of men, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. He gives to those according to his own will, Daniel 2, verse 21. And he takes and he removes, according to Proverbs 8, 15 and 16, and Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. He rules over the nations, according to Acts 17, verse 26. And he determines the bounds of their habitation, according to John 19 and verse 11. Nebuchadnezzar had a hard time learning this and had to go out and graze with the animals in Daniel chapter 4 till he understood that God rules in the kingdoms of men. God can, consistent with his own holiness, use evil men to providentially bring about the ultimate good in the world. Remember, this is a Bible principle. The Lord can take wicked men who are in absolute rebellion to him and use them as instruments of vengeance or correction to punish other evil people or to punish and correct his own people. We need to look no further than the Babylonians, who were used by God to punish God's people into captivity in the book of Daniel. We also see in 2 Kings 17 and 25 that God used the Assyrians to chastise and correct his people when they became disobedient. We can also see under God's direction that the Medes and the Persians took out the Greeks in Daniel chapter 8, verse 5 through 21. And the Greeks were destroyed by the Roman Empire in Daniel 2, 40 through 43. So we see God is sovereign in the whole world. He rules in the kingdoms of men. God is the one that sits on the throne. Please read in Revelation chapter number 4. God is in control, has been in control, and will always be in control. Man will go no further than God allows him to do. And God will always be the one who has the final say. Make no mistake about it. You can reject God. You cannot even believe in him. It doesn't change the facts. God rules in the kingdoms of men. That being so, what is the function of civil government? I want to read in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you will also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom, fair to whom fair, and honor to whom honor. You see, the higher powers are civil government. They are ordained by God. They're appointed or established for a particular function. The authorities now in power are instituted by God according to these passages. The word itself says nothing whatever about the character or spiritual nature of the subject involved. This does not mean that God approves of all that they do, or that they cannot make poor judgments. Men make free will choices. Those who resist the power resist God. That's what we just read. They will receive judgment for that action, according to verse 2. Can a child of God rebel against the government? If so, one can rebel against God. I believe you know that is not true. Rulers are appointed to be a terror for those who do evil. To produce fear on those who break the law, God's design was for this to dissuade people from committing evil. The government serves as a minister of God, according to verse 4, for the good and on behalf of Christians, a servant of God. Again, no character of the person is mentioned. At the time of the Roman letter, Nero, the homosexual tyrant, was one of these rulers. In the text, he is the minister for the Christian. The ruler is said to bear the sword as a temporal avenger of wrath. The use of force is necessary to maintain order in a sinful world. A society without some means of control and order will be in utter chaos. So, what's the Christian's duty to government? First of all, we must recognize it. We must understand God's purpose of government. Number two, subjection. Did Christ ever tell his disciples to rebel against the Roman Empire? Never. They were to submit. Taxation. We just read Romans 13, 6 and 7, and you can also read the same thing by Jesus himself in Matthew 22, 17 through 22. We derive benefits from the government. One is the freedom to worship God. Some have said you can withhold my taxes because the state or government is involved in immoral practices. What was the Roman government doing with the taxes? Subsidizing idolatry from public funds, erecting many false gods, and all forms of immorality. Yet Paul urged the brethren to pay their share. Does this implicate me in the practice? No. Choice again. We must remember. This also teaches the power of example to others. Elections. We have the right to let our voice be heard. Romans 13:34 says that sin is reproached to any nation. Christians need to try to put people in government who will bring about changes for the good of the nation. Supplication. We should pray for those who are in positions of authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. We need to pray for our country's leadership, for our good and for the nation's good. Look to God for help in this area. Obedience. According to Romans 13, verse 5, we must be obedient to that form of government. We must be respectful and obedient to the rulers under which we live. Christians should be law-abiding citizens. In every way, we should be a model. Are there any limitations upon the government? Yes. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we are told we ought to obey God rather than men. No government has a right to prohibit that which is right. What if our country said we could no longer send Bibles out of the country? Could we still teach God's word abroad? Would we have to go against the law? Some places it is against the law for parents to spank their children. Do I quit disciplining my children? No. Proverbs 22:15 says that's right and proper. In many states, adultery is not grounds for divorce. Matter of fact, in 47 states. Well, what do I do? Just stay married? No. God gives you the right to a divorce in that case. Matthew 19, verse 9. No government has the right to authorize that which is wrong. A nation may not legalize an act, thus making it an optional choice. Yet the same act may be immoral and not permissible. In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion upon demand. Drinking at certain ages is legal in many states, but that does not make it right. Neither does it make abortion right. Divorce for any cause? It's almost in every state. That doesn't mean that it's right. Gambling is legalized in Nevada and in other places. That doesn't change what God says about it. It's still sin. No government has a right to force the Christian to violate a divine command or a biblical principle. What if in the next few years the law is changed to tell us that we must allow homosexual preachers or women preachers to give them equal opportunity, although the Bible says they do not have those roles? What will the church do? What if I'm employed by the government to gather information concerning unfriendly foes? And one of the ways of getting information is to have an illicit sexual relationship with a female government worker in order to get the information. Can I do that? No, a Christian can't do that. Why? Because it violates God's law. What if an employer wants me to lie or to cheat to get a customer for a sale? No, the Christian can't do that. Why? Because he has to obey God rather than men. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude by saying we live in a wonderful country in which we derive many personal freedoms, including the right to worship. Yet our government is not perfect. I do not personally agree with many of the programs my tax dollars help to fund. The morals of many of its leaders I abhor as contrary to biblical principles. Can I rebel? No. As a Christian, what is my God-given duty towards civil government? To uphold, to follow its laws, and to live within its guidelines. And ladies and gentlemen, on November 6th, on Tuesday, we have the right to vote. We should exercise that right and seek men and women in office who have godly principles, who look to God for wisdom and counsel, and will return our nation once again to godly principles that will get this nation back on the path that once could be called a Christian government. Yes, there are many faults with our government. They are on the wrong path. Their morals are an abhorrence, but we must pray and seek God's counsel and wisdom and exercise our right to vote to put godly men and women in public office. May God help us to see the need to help our nation turn its eyes once again to God. Thank you for listening, and we hope you tune again next Sunday.